to look at this issue of God's will with me. And I am really just kind of developing this as I go along. I have taken the idea of the will of God and looked at what the Bible says. You know, everyone seems to have an opinion, but I think it's important that we understand what God says. And by the way, it's good to have Will back. He was out in the desert in California, and good to have you back. I want to look at this. Do we have the PowerPoint up ready to go? If I hit this button, is it going to work? He has no idea. There it is, the meaning of God's will. Now, again, I'm reviewing, and we are talking about what is God's sovereign decree or His purpose for us. What does God want from us? And what is God's will for us? He has a purpose that certainly He will reveal some of the things He knows. And sometimes we get the idea that God tells us everything. Well, He doesn't tell us everything, but what He does tell us is very important. He wants us to understand it, and He expects us to do it. And He gives us the ability to do it. The importance of God's will. And this is why it's important that we understand this, because negatively, God's will is sometimes ignored. And some people misunderstand how to find God's will. Some reject God's will. Some abuse the idea of the will of God. And it's very common for someone to say, well, I think it's God's will for me to do something. I had a young lady one time many years ago said to me, I just feel like God wants me to teach a Sunday school class. Really? Okay. And there seemed to be no reason why she couldn't. I said, well, you feel the Lord's leading you to do that? Yes, absolutely. I think it was like 3 weeks later. I don't think God wants me to do that. You know. Well, she obviously misunderstood what God's will is. Now, positively, God's will is important because it will make us wise. Ephesians 5:17, it is the goal of the Christian life. That's the goal of pastoral ministry, is to get people to understand what God's will is. It helps us in our prayer life. It is God's created purpose for us. So, how do we find God's will? Well, God's will on many matters is clearly taught in the Bible. And 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not willing. Now get that. He is not willing that any man perish. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? That means to be holy. And that's why it tells us that you should abstain from fornication. And how you should not defraud your brother. And it's important that we understand that this is God's will. That we give thanks. And everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was going through some of my notes, and I thought, well, you know, I left off a few. So let me give you a few of these. Number one, other clear verses stating God's will. Number one, that we would give ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 5:8. When we dealt with stewardship, we saw that it is important that we do not just simply give our money. We should give our hearts and our lives to the Lord first. And as you can see there, that and unto us by the will of God. So we ought to say, Lord, I give myself to you. And we should be aware of that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, talks about serving our masters. Now, most of you don't have a slave owner. But we certainly do apply the slave and slave master principle to the what principle? Yeah, the work principle. We have an employer, we have an employee. Or if you're in school, you have a teacher and you have a student. And so there is a sense in which we are to serve them and serve the Lord, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. And notice what it says, this is the will of God from the heart. So I don't want to obey my boss. Well, unless he's asking you to do something or she's asking you to do something that goes contrary to Scripture, the Bible says you need to be a submissive person in that regard. That's God's will. Or what about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, which tells us that so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, there's a lot of foolishness out there. And a lot of people are saying things that are foolish. Pastor Nathan is dealing with the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. And I was really disappointed that I had to not hear that this last Sunday night because we had to cancel our service. But, you know, he's going to talk about wisdom, and the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And people do foolish things. Now, what we want to do, according to 1 Peter 2:15, that when we do right, and people are criticizing us, mocking us because we're doing that which is right, we can, in a sense, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That is God's will. And then Matthew 18, verse 14, that we reach children with the gospel. Now, that's God's will. You know, we say, well, you know, we don't have many children. Well, it's not because we don't try. And we have to understand that it is the will of your Father, Matthew 18, 14, that one of these little ones should not perish. And it is God's will. So that's why, you know, we do Sunday school, we have vacation Bible school, we do camps and all of those things. Why? Because we want to do the will of God. All right? So these are clear statements in the Bible regarding God's will. Now, of course, we've been dealing with other clear truths in the Bible. I mean, it doesn't say the will of God, but we're to pray. It is God's will to pray. It is God's will to study God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show ourselves approved. It is God's will for us to witness. Ye shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. We are not to be unequally yoked together, because obviously you get a believer and unbeliever, and they get married, that creates a real problem. And we are to flee youthful lusts. Now, we could talk about many clear statements in the Bible. Now, here's the thing. Here's a rule of thumb. Learn how to exegete Scripture. Now, you said, what does that mean? That means make sure you know what it says. You always want to look to see the context, what it says. You know, someone said, you know, by way of illustration, maybe you've heard it. I've heard it several times over the years, you know, that somebody says, I think I'm going to try to find out God's will. And so they put their hand down, and they point to Judas went out and hung himself. Whoa, what does that mean? Close the Bible again, open it up, put the finger down. Go and do thou likewise. Now, that is not what God says. But, you know, we can take verses and take them out of context. So you need to learn to exegete. That's one of the reasons why, for instance, we're going through the book of Ephesians. And I'm not rushing through Ephesians on Sunday morning because I want us to catch every word. What does it mean? Hopefully, we'll make it interesting enough that it doesn't just become some kind of a class. No, obviously, there's application of Scripture. And what you want to do is you want to, when you go to the Bible, find out exactly what it says and understand that what it says is, if it's very clear, there's no options. You have to do that if you're going to follow God's will. Now, some of God's principles here is what God gives us. Someone says, well, you know, if the Bible doesn't state it, it's okay. No, that's not true. Because there are principles. A principle is a basic truth that applies to all people of all ages. And even though God's will in many matters are not necessarily stated, so we use the illustration of cigarettes. You know, where does the Bible say it's wrong to smoke cigarettes? Well, there's no verse that says that. Where does the Bible say that you need to be careful with the internet? It doesn't tell us anything on that. But it does give us principles by which we can live. And we gave some examples of those principles. But we mentioned, I believe, there's 9 principles that we went through and we carefully discussed those. The principle of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I am wondering if this is the right thing to do, then back off from it until you know it's the right thing to do. Now, I understand that can be very difficult for indecisive people. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they just, you know, well, what if I make a mistake? Well, sometimes putting off making a decision is a mistake. You know, bullets are flying at you. Should I shoot back? Well, you better shoot back or you're going to die. You know? So there is a sense in which we have to ask that question. The principle of personal harm. Will this hurt me physically? Will it hurt me mentally? Will it hurt me spiritually? The principle of addiction. I will not be brought under the power of anything. I need to be very careful that my viewing habits, my eating habits, my medication habits, or whatever it may be, does not cause me to become addicted. There is the principle of the stumbling block. It does matter how I affect other people. Somebody might think, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. So I'm going to, as a dad, serve alcohol at my table. Okay, but you better be very careful because you're going to have a child who is maybe not be able to handle it like you handle it or you say you handle it. The fact is, when you talk about alcohol, there's a deception in alcohol. Proverbs tells us wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so I might be able to say, oh, I can get away with drinking a beer, but you might influence somebody else, maybe your child or a friend or somebody else who can't handle it and they become a drunkard. So there's a principle there of the stumbling block. The principle of being a godly witness. Be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that lies within you. So we need to be a good witness. And if what I am doing is going to hinder me in giving the gospel to somebody else, maybe I ought to change it. So I don't see the real purpose of breath mints and toothpaste and deodorant. Man, when I go witness, I want them to know that I'm my own man. Well, you're going to hinder your witness if you stink. You know, so understand there is a sense in which we want to be a godly witness. There's the principle of God's glory. We always want to give the right opinion of God. There is a principle of God's presence. Now, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hebrews 13 tells us that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, you know, so there is a sense in which I have to recognize, would Jesus want me doing this? Would Jesus want to watch that movie with me? That's a good question. That's a good principle. And then there's the principle of Christ's example. You know, remember, what would Jesus do? So we have to ask ourselves that question. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. And then there's the principle of readiness. Because in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I want to be ready to meet the Lord at any moment. So I want to ask myself that question. Would it be, you know, if the Lord came back right now, would I get a smile from His face or a look of disappointment? So, all right, now I got 5 minutes. But I'm reviewing this because I want you to see the overall picture of what I'm saying. Now, I want to just take a couple minutes, talk about the characteristics of Christians doing God's will. So what does the Bible say that a person who is a believer in Christ and doing God's will, what does it say? Now, keep in mind, if you're not a believer, you could go to church, because the Bible says go to church, right? If you're not a believer, you could say, well, I read my Bible, so therefore the Bible says to read my Bible. Well, you can do God's will with a wrong heart. The plowing of the wicked is sin, the Proverbs tells us. So I'm talking about those who truly know the Lord. Four things. They know, number one, that Jesus is true. Now, I want you to go with me to the book of John, chapter 7. I will have you turn to a few verses here. John chapter 7, and here's an interesting verse. If any man will, see that? How many are there? If any man will do his will. So if you do God's will, he says, then you're going to know of the doctrine. What doctrine? What teaching? Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. See, the problem was these religious leaders did not believe Jesus was who he said he was. Now, a person who doesn't want to do what God wants is a person who's going to be blinded. I'm talking to Richard Britt today. He came by, who owns the property over here, and he was telling me about how he went over into Utah and so forth. And he said, and I got so irritated. This is what he said. I got so irritated with these guides who come along and say that all of these things happened in millions and billions of years. I thought, well, that's a good statement. I said, so you don't buy into that evolution stuff? He said, no. He said, I've been around too long to realize that somebody up there had to do this. Now, he says he knows the Lord. And I made the comment to him, you know, some people, if they believed the creation account in Genesis, you know what that would mean? That means that the Bible's true, and so therefore I have to obey everything else it says. So they're blinded in their minds because of the fact they don't want to do what God says. Now you try to talk to people about some of the things I've already brought up, I don't have time to expand upon. And you try to talk about them, if they don't want to do right, they're going to be blinded. And Jesus, this is an incredible verse. You show me somebody who is seeking and wanting to know God. If you seek, you what? Find, Jesus says. And so there is a sense in which doing God's will many times open our eyes to truth. Now, what I'm saying is get into the Bible and plan to obey it. Get into the Word of God and say, whatever it says, I will do. Instead of getting into the Bible and saying, well, let's see if this is just a suggestion or not. You know, the Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. And when Jesus said to do something, it is meant to obey. It will change your Bible reading if you will read it with the eye on obedience. Number two, those who do God's will are endeared to Jesus. You say, what? And we don't have time to look at these verses, but I'll probably do like I did tonight, just kind of review, and we'll talk about a little bit more. But Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, he said, the same is my brother, sister, mother. Remember that? Because they said, Jesus, your mother and brethren are outside. And he said to the crowd, if you'll do God's will, you're my family. Now, he wasn't rejecting his mom, but he was trying to make the point that he is very endeared to us. He is very warm and feels good. You know, no wonder he's going to say one day, well done, you good and faithful servant. Number three, if you do God's will, okay, it's not going. Let me tell you what it is. If you get it to go, Ken, let me know. Number three, they're going to heaven. Come up? All right. Then you say, well, wow. I mean, if I obey God, I'll go to heaven. No, we're not saved by works. But we are saved by faith that works, right? And somebody says, well, I'm a Christian, but they never want to live for God. Well, I question their Christianity. Now, I'm not their judge. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You study that one out. Number four, they do what God says. They do what God says. Whether of them twain did he? Remember Jesus gave the illustration about two brothers. One, the dad said, do something, and the one brother says, I'm not going to do that. And he ended up doing it. And the other one said, I'll do it, and didn't do it. Now Jesus said, which one did the will of their father? Now, just think on that. Jesus was very deep in his understanding. Here's a guy who says he will do it and doesn't. Here's another guy who says he won't do it and he repents and doesn't. Doing God's will is an issue of obedience, not to save us, but because we're saved. But that's characteristic of a believer. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be wise in our Christianity. Help us, Lord, to know your will. Help us, Father, to live for you. And help us to be able to understand your truth. And Lord, guide and direct us for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this evening. Thank you.